Professor and the Smuggler, written by Bonnie D. and Summer Devon, and read by Patrick Eastham.
Chapter 1. Cornwall, England, 1905. Philip Bartholomew Singleton tripped over a rock hidden in the tall grass and careened into the ring of standing stones. He threw out an arm to catch his balance and bashed it into one of the erect boulders that had been raised by men thousands of years earlier. His elbow hit quartzite, and the shock reverberated up his arm. He yelped and grabbed at the point of pain, pivoted on his left foot, and fell into another tall, pale stone. More than fell. He drove his shoulder into it, and the men here, no taller than his own gangly 6'4" frame, rocked on its base. It began to lean. "No, oh no, no, no," Philip chanted as he grabbed at the slab with both hands, hoping to steady it, the sharp crack on his elbow forgotten. These stones were practically rooted in the earth. They'd stood for thousands of years, maybe more, set in place by an ancient people. It was impossible that a little bump could... The standing stone slumped to the ground like a grey old man whose legs had finally failed him. There was no powerful whump when the boulder hit ground, more of a soft sigh of surrender as stone reclined into grass. Philip stared at the felled slab, pushing a hand through his unruly mop of hair. "No, no, no, no." If repetition of a mantra could pray the stone back into its proper position, he'd spend the night reciting his incantation. "Dear God in heaven, no!" The stone remained where it lay, where it would continue to lie for the next few thousand years until the earth slowly covered it over and cradled it again in her bosom of soil. Philip plastered his palms over his mouth, holding back his horror as he too slowly sank to the ground. He'd come down from London to Cornwall to research and write about the corner of Britain he most admired, a land of crashing surf, shipwrecks and smugglers, of dark, dangerous mines riddling the earth and folk as hard as the very rock they hewed. This was his first day exploring the countryside, steeped in sumptuous layers of history, and he'd managed to destroy a small archaeological marvel. "Small" was the operative word, he consoled himself as he gazed around the ring of weather-worn menhir that encircled him and backed their fallen comrade. Wasn't as if he'd knocked down Stonehenge or anything. There were many modest rings of stone like this all over the British Isles. If he viewed this incident in another light, he had simply become a part of history, leaving his own mark on the stones in the great march of time. That was rather exciting to ponder. As he continued to sit and sneeze away pollen from the many weeds growing rampant in the clearing, Philip removed his glasses to wipe his eyes, then rubbed his sore elbow. He should unload the photographic equipment from his vehicle parked on the road and document this moment. If he chose to use the photograph in a travelogue, he need never mention his part in reshaping the standing stones of Parguinere. The sound of some large animal pushing through the trees surrounding this open space seized Philip's attention. Just as he'd scrambled to his feet, prepared to run from whatever predator patrolled the countryside, a black-bearded man pushed aside branches and emerged from the woods. He was nearly as tall as Philip, but much bulkier across the shoulders, with the solid build of his mining heritage. His sleeves were rolled to the elbow, bearing muscular forearms covered with dark hair, and he wore no cap to hide the sheen of sunlight on his raven hair. Piercing brown eyes skewered Philip as the stranger demanded, "What the devil are you doing here?" Philip had begun this adventure prepared to be given the cold shoulder by the locals. This area was not known for its hospitality, and he'd expected to have to work at gaining the historical stories he craved. He'd come forearmed with excuses. "Oh, am I trespassing? I had no idea this was private property. I thought this land was unclaimed and free for tourists to wander. I heard about Parguinere Circle and came to see the stones for myself and to make a photograph. I was about to head back to my vehicle to get the camera.